these beautiful things that I've got.
Benson Boone, Beautiful Things. I think we all need a therapy dog after listening to that. And we have one in studio, as it happens, Pop, with owner Joe Rigby. How are you doing, Joe?
Very well, thank you. I think we all need therapy after
that. We do, yeah. look at Pop. So describe Pop for our listeners, because we're on radio.
Yes, it is a bit bizarre having a silent dog on the radio, but here we are. Like, he is a big, tall, black greyhound. He is 6 years old. He's a rescued ex-racing dog.
Right.
And he now does pet therapy at Tala University Hospital once a week in intensive care.
Okay. Tell us about your relationship with Pop. When did you first meet?
So he was rescued by an organisation called Right, a rehoming Irish Greyhounds team. And they organise these kind of meets that you can go down, meet and greets, meet lots of greyhounds. I've got twin boys, so I put sausages in their pockets, brought them down there, and Pop was the one who was confident enough to come over and kind of, where's the sausages?
Okay. That's a random enough thing to do, Joe, is to put sausages in your kids' pockets.
Yes.
So explain the strategy to me.
I don't know. I think, you know, there's sometimes, they're seen as a bit of a timid breed sometimes, you know, and I thought, you know, I have two kind of rambunctious boys, I have a busy household, I need a dog that's confident. Yeah. And I thought, you know, the sausages in the pocket, the dog that kind of susses that out and confidently goes to the kids.
It's the dog you want. Not that, you know, it works like this, but you did have a dog beforehand who died.
I did, yes, yeah. Shuffles, who's gone. And it, to me, just, it was a house, it wasn't a home when she was gone, you know,
right.
And it was about 2 weeks in between the two, and I just brought him home on a home trial, and I just knew I wouldn't be giving it back.
And what breed was Shuffles?
The Shuffles was a sighthound. She was a Whippet Border Collie mix, and that really kind of got me into, you know, that kind of sighthound breed.
Sighthound, yeah. I'd never heard this phrase before today, so explain sighthound to me.
So that would be the blanket term for Whippets, greyhounds, and then lurchers, which is any breed mixed with a greyhound. And I believe sighthound means they have stereoscopic vision.
Like us.
Yeah, which?
We have stereoscopic vision, don't we?
It's 280 degrees.
Oh, no. No, because stereo is where that one eye is a different, slightly different to the other eye. So it gives two different pictures to the brain. That's what gives us perspective. I always thought that was stereoscopic.
Yeah. I
Anyway, he's a sighthound. He has stereoscopic, right? Yeah. Different type of dog stereoscopic.
Yes. Yeah, yes. 280 degree vision, which
okay.
is why they're good.
Yeah, somebody might explain that to me and Joe there. 51551 or 087032 32 32. Okay, so got on really well with the twins.
Yeah.
And you. And where did the support dog thing come in?
That was after having him for a couple of years. And, you know, he was a, like I say, rescued racer and, you know, kind of retired athlete lounging about the house 20 hours a day. And I thought, this guy needs a job, you know, he needs something to do. And met a very good friend, Adrian and Rupert, and they do pet therapy with their dog. They go into a school in Rathfarnham and a psychiatric unit. And I just thought that sounded like a really rewarding thing to do.
Yeah. So how do you put an ad up in the local supermarket?
No, there is a charity established called Pata Therapy, and you just go onto their website, you can fill out a form, you know, and then you go to Harold's Cross Hospice, and they kind of assess you and the dog and pair you with kind of the right place.
Right.
So it was kind of nice to hear from Margot, who's the current chair, that, you know, she'd had the Tala ICU in her head for a while, and she was trying to find the right pairing. So she met Pop and I, and she felt that we were the right two to go into that environment.
So ICU, intensive care unit, people who are very unwell.
It's a very, very serious place. We rarely see the same patients twice, and we go once a week.
Right.
Yeah.
And like, I've been in an ICU unit, a lot of high tech, a lot of hygiene.
Yeah.
And it just strikes me that bringing a dog into that environment isn't, you know, doesn't make sense to me.
Well, I believe the studies that have been done, I think it's a particularly big one done by the NHS, is that humans are more likely to bring in any infectious diseases than dogs.
Right.
You know, it's more likely that me coming in would have an adverse effect than the dog. That's what the studies have proven, I believe.
So it was decided that you and Pop would go out to the ICU in Tala. What was the first day like, Joe?
I suppose it was kind of a lot for both of us to get used to, you know. So Lisa Dunn, who runs the department, she goes round in the morning and she says to all the patients, do you want to meet the therapy dog? And right. She gets a list together. So that's Pop's rounds. So we go around and it was a lot of kind of smells for him to get used to, and a kind of a very, a fairly intimidating environment for me to get used to as well. You know, it's not a place you really want to
no,
go unnecessarily.
No. Yes. It's not a place most people would choose to be in.
Exactly. Yeah. And sometimes it is hard to go there, you know, because it's a tough environment. But it's always very rewarding seeing what the staff get out of him being there and the patients as well.
Can you try and put that into words for us?
It's tough. Yeah. I think, you know, just seeing nurses who've had very, very long shifts and they kind of get down and they give him a big hug, you know, and just kind of that kind of emotion of getting the comfort from him. You know, that's the therapy kind of in action in front of you.
And patients as well, comes up beside the bed, is that the way
it works? Yeah, so being a greyhound and being quite tall, he's the right height for going around the beds, because all of the patients pretty much are immobile, so they're all hooked up to tubes. It's usually just one hand on. And he's a good kind of conduit for not talking about the situation. You know,
yes.
When we just talk about dogs. We don't talk about why the person's there. We just try and bring some kind of, you know, that's because always they're going to be doggy people if they put their name down.
So they'll tell you about their dog.
Yeah, their dog they have at home, or their experience of greyhounds. You know, their uncle kept them, or they used to go to the races years ago.
Yeah,
that kind of thing.
Very placid pup.
He's incredibly passive. Yeah, he's a force of calm. He really is.
Yeah. I just put my head over because he's beyond the table there, and he's just lying down, flailed out there, and happy as Larry.
This is what he does if I chat to the patients for too long. He lies on the hospital floor and people have to step over him.
Right. That's it. Now, they're very good at telling us things. A stereoscopic vision gives you depth perception, Ray, and you need two good eyes in order to have 3D vision, Nicola at Kilcullen Optician. Right. So we have 3D vision. I also have a therapy dog, Rupert. He works in St. Mary's Boys National School and he visits his friends every week in St. Michael's house. He's been doing this for over 9 years now.
We know Rupert.
Yeah, that's what I said. Yeah, we know your guest, Pop. Doesn't mention you, Joe.
No, they never do.
Just Pop, yeah. So once a week, and it's usually today, Wednesday, is it?
Yes, we've moved it to Thursday, especially for you.
Ah, but thank you very much. Thank you very much. So does Pop, he has an idea now, you know, the way your movements might be of a Wednesday?
Yeah, I mean, he's wearing his little yellow pet therapy jacket at the moment, and he knows when that goes on that where he's going. He's going to Tallaght University Hospital, jumps in the back of the car, and as soon as we walk over from the car park into reception, the tail is going, you know, really, really waggy.
Yeah.
And he kind of, when he sees Lisa Dunn there, who runs the department, he goes absolutely ballistic. He hops around like a kangaroo, very happy to see her, because he knows he does those rounds, sees the patients, and then he gets treats in her office afterwards.
So as you say, Lisa goes around and she asks everybody, do you want to meet the dog? And so would you arrive some weeks and nobody wants to meet the dog? Or
no, there's always people who want to see the dog. Always. I suppose you get the occasional non-doggy person, but I think they're in the minority, really.
What age are your twins?
They are 10 and a half, Archie and Charlie.
Right.
Yeah.
And what do they think of all this?
They love it. You know, they're very proud of him. All the other times he's been on the news and stuff, they've, you know, shown the clips to their class. So they're very proud that they have a dog that goes and does.
We have Rory, our social media man, who's a dog lover as well. Are you, Rory?
Absolutely.
Absolutely, yeah. So Rory's taken lovely, loving shots of Pop, which we will have up on our social media later on. So his legacy, he's making a real difference in people's lives.
I believe so.
Yeah,
I mean, it's like I said, it's like a conduit for talking about other things and a distraction from the situation you're in.
Yeah.
And it's about kind of bringing comfort and kind of temporary relief when people are kind of very vulnerable. You know, so whether it's intensive care like Pop does, so other dogs in the charity would go into schools or psychiatric units or care homes. And, you know, because all of us at some point in our lives will be vulnerable. And if it's something we can take comfort from, that's, you know, only a good thing.
I was thinking I could think of somebody who might need a support dog right now, but I'm not going to mention the name. Because they look quite vulnerable there. So will you mention the name of the organisation again? So if people have dogs and they want to get involved in a therapy dog situation.
So it's PATA Therapy. So it's PEATA.ie. And you can go on there and register your interest.
Right.
And if you'd like to get a greyhound, there's Wright, there's also Hug, there's Greyhounds in Need in Tipperary, who are actually fundraising at the moment to try and buy the property they're in. Because a lot of these organisations, you know, they don't get a huge amount of support. A lot of it's voluntary.
So what normally happens to a greyhound who's finished up racing?
they're put down if they're not lucky. Right. 6,000 a year in Ireland, 18,000 in Australia. So, you know, that's why we're, as kind of greyhound lovers, we're kind of very happy that Wales has banned it recently, hoping that Ireland will follow suit. So typically, that, you know, they'd be put down if it wasn't for these rescue charities and organisations stepping in and taking them. You know, they have to have relationships with the trainers and bring them across, get them fostered, get them adopted.
Can I just say, I've never been in the company of a greyhound before who was so placid. Usually they're sprinting here, there and everywhere.
Yeah.
But Pop, yeah, he's changed my opinion on greyhounds.
He's particularly calm.
He is particularly calm. Joe, thanks so much for coming in and thanks for bringing Pop in as well.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. That's it from us today. More analysis of that meeting between Donald Trump and Micheál Martin coming up on Drive Time with Sarah and Cormac. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 3. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday evening.